Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFB 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. You can contact the Latah Recovery Community Center by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. You can contact the Whitman Recovery Community Center by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. And across the table from me is Miss Denise.
Hello, everyone. Glad that you could be here today.
I'm glad you're here today. It's been a while since we've gotten together to do a recording due to a lot of crazy life events and projects going on. So it's great to get back together. And get things rolling again. The calendar should be, it's up and out on the LRC website. So go to latahrecoverycenter.org and you can link to it right off the opening page there and see all the cool stuff coming on. And mark your calendars because we're about a month out from the Recovery Festival that we do every year. And it will be at East City Park once again. And I believe we're going to do the lunch like we typically do. And we'll have live music by
Solid Ghost
again, which put on a great show. And they'll probably be giving stuff away and all kinds of cool stuff like that. So mark your calendars or go to the website and mark your calendars. I think I want to say the 12th.
But it's the 12th. Yeah. It's 12th. And as every year, Cindy has been going around to the local businesses and getting raffle prizes together. Right. And there's some good stuff. You really might want to come check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need to be in recovery to come, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. They will be doing some recovery out loud, people sharing their stories of recovery, their experience, strength, and hope. And so, you know, if you don't have a recovery issue to tend to, you probably know somebody who does. Yeah. And it's a good way to learn how to be helpful to those people and find out what the LRC does as well.
And
there'll also be tables there from, I'm sure, Chaz is almost always there. Mm-hmm. And
usually DAC.
Yeah, Disability Action Center. Yeah. And lots of others. So come on down and check it out.
Yes, that should definitely be fun. It will be fun. That's a great park, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful park. I understand they're redoing the bandstand.
I believe so. They're doing some more improvements. I also wanted to throw out there real quick because it's tomorrow, Friday the 14th at 11 a.m. I'm doing rock dotting here at the LRC just in the front area as you first come in. And you come join us. You can dot your rock. You can paint your rock. And there's usually a pretty good attendance for this, too.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, fun.
Something fun to do on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, everything's free.
Right, exactly. Free.
Yes.
Let's see, what else? Okay, we don't have a guest today, well, other than ourselves. But we're going to talk about negative and positive beliefs. And I'm going to read a little bit here, something I stole off the interwebs. And this is a cognitive exercise that draws from behavioral therapy. Group members list three negative beliefs about themselves, then write down a positive affirmations that challenge those beliefs. And then it says they pair off to discuss what they wrote and offer peer feedback. And peer coaching is what we do here, peer-to-peer. You know, people with behavioral health problems work with people with behavioral health problems. People with substance abuse disorder deal with people who have substance abuse disorder. So, and that's where that offer peer feedback, then debrief as a whole group. So obviously we can't do that here today, but Denise and I can, you know, make some examples of what that might sure. look like. Yeah. And, you know, we've done these things under other guises. In my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, we have a thing we do called a fourth step, where we make a grudge list, basically, you know, people and, you know, how they, why we're upset with them, and mad at them. And then, we look at what it affects, you know, our self-esteem, our relationships, our security, you know, financial and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we drill down from there and find out what that is driving in us. Usually it works out to be fear in one form or another. And then once we identify the, what we call character defects, we work on not just not having those defects, but if we have a problem with self-esteem, we direct ourselves to do what we call esteemable acts, you know, mm-hmm. which can be as simple as holding a door open for somebody going into a store, or it could be doing volunteer work at the Latah Recovery Community Center, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Denise, you had an example that worked pretty good.
I went right to vulnerable issues for myself, and that is that I am dyslexic, and I have one of the four dyslexic things, and it's an auditory processing disorder, which means that I really have a hard time with hearing the sound of vowels. My ears work great, but it gets into my brain and it doesn't want to process that correctly. So I struggle with spelling and reading. And so my example was, because of my spelling and reading issues, I've had the belief in the past. Negative belief that I wouldn't be able to get better jobs than I had previously. You know, and right. I just really struggled in, quote, a career or a job, because I felt that that was going to keep me from it. Yeah. Right. So my negative belief was that was going to hold me back. It was always going to hold me back.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, for me, I was had a lot of problem with advanced math, algebra. Mm. Don't even talk to me about geometry and calculus and all those other. I mean, I literally could not pass bonehead algebra in junior college, mm-hmm. not to save my life. I had help from people. I just couldn't. It just couldn't make it click. It just mm-hmm. I couldn't make sense out of it. And because of that, I just basically kind of abandoned it. Mm-hmm. And what that did for me was, you know, it was kind of an esteem buster, because, you know, how are you supposed to figure out square feet? You know, there's a formula for that. Or, you know, God forbid a train leaves the station at whatever, and another one leaves from a different point. When do they, you know, those things were just always going to be a mystery to me. And it really kind of disappointed me, because my career, it turns out, was going to be in the field of electronics manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It's all algebra. It's all calculus. It's mm-hmm. all that stuff. And I really, the negative thought was, I'm never going to advance very far in this, mm-hmm. other than maybe just being an assembler. So that was something big for me, a big negative impression that I had of myself. The positive answer to that would be, you know, I would just keep seeking somebody who could help me figure it out, you know, somebody who maybe could explain it in a different way, or, you know, have the patience to answer my question, is why does this happen here? Why do we just substitute X for it? You know, and how, you know, I don't understand why all these letters are mixed up with numbers. Exactly. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I know.
But to find somebody, you know, the positive thing would be to not give up on it, to mm-hmm. keep working to try and find, you know, somebody or something to help me.
Right.
You know, and you know, for you, it would be with your reading.
Yeah. I did want to backtrack for one second and say that I didn't get algebra with the letters until I was in my 20s and I was at the grocery store. And then for whatever reason, it just clicked. And I was like, oh, because I was like, why are we putting these letters that I struggle with in my math that I like?
Right.
Yeah. So for me, well, I want to say that it took someone believing in me to point out that I could do these things. That was actually really helpful. But my positive beliefs on that were looking at the progress that I had made and that I could continue to make progress.
Right.
Yep. Right. And I have.
Yeah. And, and like
and you asked a lot of questions and got a lot of help with computers, you know.
And when you're talking about the light coming on for you in algebra, actually the light came on for me while I was working.
Awesome.
Because I knew I had to figure out this particular thing. So I talked to an engineer and he said, well, this is how we figure that out. And he explained it to me using actual things.
Yes. I'm sure that helped a lot. Yes. Yes.
And then afterwards he wrote the formula on my whiteboard. Nice. And I went, oh, that is what we just did. And that's what it looks like in that horrible algebra speak. And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, bing, the light came on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I worked with that guy for many years and he helped me out immensely, you know, because I did statistical analysis and there's a lot of that in there as well, you know, even beyond just chasing electrons around a circuit board or whatever. So, yeah, so that would be, that's, you know, awesome, the sort of thing we would do. And then we would talk about it. You know, the positive belief, you know, you had a mentor that told you, you know, don't give up and you can do it. You know, I had this engineer that explained things to me in a way I could understand it, that I could process it without going crazy.
They took the, so there's like multiple ways to learn stuff.
Right.
And he actually made it come alive.
Right.
And then you saw that up on the board too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like being able to make things more understandable and tangible and right there in front of you can help so much. That's so cool.
Right.
And having somebody point out that you can do this and that they'll walk alongside of you in that area while you're working on it is so helpful.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking before the show, you were talking about some things you were writing up and you found a new tool. Well, not a new tool, but the ChatGPT.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
To help organize thoughts and, as you say, make it pretty.
Yes, it makes it pretty. So when I first started using the ChatGPT, it would take my information and it would kind of make it its own. And I'm like, no. I want you to take my information and make it the sentences correctly and the structure good, not just make up other stuff.
Right.
And that's what it does for me now. I've kind of trained it to know what I want. And so I'll enter in, hey, I'm doing a letter for this or an application for this. And then it's able to take what I tell it and make the sentences right and paragraphs. And yes, it's so nice. I love it. It's been a while since I've been in English class.
Right, right. And what I was mentioning to you is then you can also look at that.
Yes. And then I learn.
And then you will learn, you know, how to better structure sentences or whatever so that, you know, one day you won't need ChatGPT.
Exactly. And then the other thing is being able to spell on my phone, being able to speak it or see if I text, if I type it in wrong, that helps so much too. There's some words that are just an ongoing struggle for whatever reason with being dyslexic, but for the most part, I've improved immensely over the years. It's been really good.
Right. Like I would imagine Mississippi is a nightmare for you to...
But I remember the song. Yeah. There things like calendar and there's just some other words that are just really difficult for me to remember for I don't know what reason, but I'm
Oregon.
I keep trying. Yeah. I keep trying. Yeah.
Something with all those, a lot of vowels.
Yeah, a lot of vowels.
Or even just a lot of vowel sounds.
Because I realized when I was teaching my son who is now 31 phonics, like hooked on phonics, that I was actually not saying some of the vowel sounds correctly. And it just, I was like, oh, wow, this is really, wow, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, if you can't hear them, you can't absorb them.
Right.
You
so, can't. Right. You can't. And so the hardest things for me mostly are people's like last names or words that I'm just not familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so I just ask people to spell it and then that helps. And then once I see it, that really helps. Cause even somebody will say their name and it's a different kind of a name and it, and I can't remember it or register it.
Right.
So then I have them write it down and then I work on it. Yeah. Very visual.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's all amazing work and positive stuff too.
Yeah. You kind of get to know yourself a little better and like, right. Where are your roadblocks? And honestly, these are some of the things that we do as coaches here is we help sort these things out with people too and like explore what could be helpful in their roadblocks and their journey.
And discovering the roadblocks.
Right.
You know, like I was talking about earlier, this fourth and fifth step thing we do in AA, mm-hmm. It helps us to recognize some of these grosser character defects, as we call them.
Yeah.
And the something interesting that I recently kind of locked into, it's a practice I've been doing for a while. I mean, we watch out for these things. We learn to recognize, and it even talks about this, triggers here. Mm-hmm. You know, how if somebody is raises their voice towards me, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of triggers me to go into jerk mode, mm-hmm. And to start yelling back, mm-hmm. which is not productive. Mm-hmm. But I've also noticed that occasionally those defects will show up dressed differently. Mm-hmm. Somebody will say something to me in a normal tone of voice that somehow insults me or has a real negative impact on maybe my self-view. Mm-hmm. And it that same thing starts to happen. I feel like getting loud and stuff. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, this is me reacting.
Right.
Rather than processing.
Button got pushed in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so learning to recognize the problem can be a problem in itself.
Right. Right.
You know, being able to find them and recognize mm-hmm. them. Because you can't work on them if you don't know. There.
And that's kind of the thing, like being a little self-aware for like your own specific things and me for my own. And I've learned over the years in recovery that kind of a boundary, it is a boundary that I have. It's like, hey, if we're talking and we get into a disagreement and we're one of us or both of us is yelling, we need to pause and circle back around. And so I can say, I want to finish talking about what we're talking about. You're important.
Right.
This is important, mm-hmm. but I need a break. Can we circle back around?
Yeah.
You know, just because I know myself and if I start yelling, it's not going to be good.
Right.
So it's a boundary for me that I'm not engaging in that kind of stuff. I can't tell you, Johnny, that you can't yell at me. I mean, I can, but I'm going to choose, my boundary is going to be like, okay, well, if we can't come to an agreement on that, I'm going to step away. You can still yell at me.
Right.
But
I'm not going to engage.
Yeah. I can't really engage in that because I'm aware that it doesn't have good results because my nervous system will get very excited and I may say things that are unkind and I don't like saying things that are unkind.
Right.
So if I get dysregulated, in fact, this happened last week. I got dysregulated in the morning when there was like three different things going on at the same time. And about an hour later, I circled back around to everybody that was there in the room when that happened. And I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I was grumpy earlier. And they're like, oh, it's no big deal. And I'm like, well, it's my value and it's very important to me and I won't be okay. I won't feel very good inside if mm-hmm. I don't circle back around and say, hey, like I did this and I'm sorry if it affected you. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was being grumpy. You didn't do anything wrong, you know?
Right, right.
And that's just helping me be more aware of when I start to go in the wrong direction.
Right.
Kind of accountability for myself. And then internally, I'm okay.
Yeah. And then recognizing what triggered that.
Exactly.
Because, like I said, it shows up dressed differently.
It really does.
You know, somebody talks negative about, say your work habits,
yeah.
you know, say you, you know, are Like I might have been at one time, you know, religiously late.
Right. So I was just thinking like you're constantly 5-15
right,
minutes late.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody wants to address it with you, you know, and, you know, maybe it really is something you can't avoid or something that, you know, there's stuff going on in your life, whatever. You might want to react to that, you know, in kind of a hostile manner, you know. But if you do, it's the sort of thing where in my program, we have this thing called 10th step, where we continue to take our personal inventory like on a daily basis.
Right. Absolutely.
And when we find we're wrong about something, we need to promptly admit it. And, you know, promptly can be like, oh, why did I just, hey, Bob, look, I apologize for snapping at you. What can I do to make this better?
Yeah.
You know, or make it right. But sometimes you have to reflect on it, you know, at night. Like if I have quote unquote bad day and I'm laying in bed at night all by myself in the quiet, you know, all grumpified out about, you know, I can take some time then and look at the day and see where I went off the tracks.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, I couldn't find that tool. Mm-hmm. And I looked everywhere for it. It took an hour out of what the project was going to be to find this darn tool. Why did I let that, you know, spin me up, you know, so badly? And now I got to go address the people that I snapped at, and just let them know that, you know, I recognize what I did was wrong. You know, what can I do to make it better.
Yeah. Well, that's good. See?
Yeah.
I'm 10 stepping.
Yeah.
When I do that. That's true. That's true. Yeah. And I like to notice in a situation, even if another person kind of goes off the deep end on their part, that's their part. I have to own up to my part, even if somebody else reacted badly. Like that's their thing.
Right.
I'm going to apologize for my part.
Yeah. That's their amends to make.
Yeah.
And we also have to, I always look at this side of it too. You know, we harm ourselves when we do that as well.
Yeah.
And the amends we can make to ourselves is, okay, I recognize this defect showing up in this way now. So I'm going to put that in my toolkit that if I can't find a tool, I'm going to have to remember to not let it be the center of my world. You know, I will find it or I will buy a new one.
Right.
But I'm not going to let it invade every bit of my life from here, you know, for the rest of the day or until I get over it. Because I love holding on to a good resentment.
Yeah. I mean, it can spin around in my brain a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then I have to do some gratitude to like get it out.
Yeah, put it out. Well, and you know, talking about you know, positive affirmation, that's a great tool, a gratitude list.
Yeah.
For people who don't know what that is, I mean, basically, you just sit down with pencil and paper or phone or however you write things down these days, and write down things that you're grateful for. And it can be as basic as I got a roof over my head. You know, I've got food in my belly. I've got a car. I've got a car with gas in it. And it starts pretty much all the time, you know, and I can go wherever I want. I have a job. There's so many things that we take for granted in our lives that sitting down and writing, you know, what you're grateful for can override the fact that, you know, your boss was mean to you today, or you had to do somebody else's job because of whatever reason.
Right. Yeah. It could be like, I get to do.
They're incapable or incompetent or, you know, whatever resentment you want to throw on top of that. Because when you look at it as a balance sheet, you know, the negatives versus, you know, the positive, the things you can be grateful for, it's a big difference.
If you look, you'll find it, definitely. And then that always shuts down the ruminating circles of resentment that are going.
Right.
Because
yeah, right.
Brain science wise, you can't do both at the same time. So, and I've practiced that many a times, and that is true.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, it's nice that it's not just a, you know, a philosophical idea that, you know, people can use for a tool. It actually changes Works. Your brain chemistry.
It does. Yeah.
And allows, you know, I mean, physics says two things can't occupy the same space at the same time physically. And accordingly, you know, a negative thought cannot rest in the same place as a positive thought. And positive thoughts tend to make us happier anyway.
They really do. And I don't know how to explain the things that I've been seeing videos on recently, but the more what we focus on, mm-hmm. our brains will find. So right. if we are focusing on more positive things and being kinder to ourselves and others and less nitpicky mm-hmm. in things, that's what we're going to find. And I find with when you mentioned the thing about the job, mm-hmm. I look at it like this. If it bothers me enough, I'll just do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's one, and if it doesn't bother other people, then of course I don't care about doing it. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just take yeah. care of it myself instead of complain about it. Yeah. And I was also thinking of the what you said about like your coworker, your boss letting you know, like, hey, you're perpetually late.
Right.
I would love to have my coworker or boss say that nicely. But even if they didn't right. and it was true, it's still true. I could right. be like, yep, I will work on that. That's correct.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Right. And yeah, it would be wonderful if everybody came to us, you know,
kindly,
which doesn't happen a lot.
It doesn't quite always honestly. Happen, but I feel like yeah.
there are some people that can do it. I, mm-hmm. You know, not to be braggadocious, but
you're going to do it anyways.
I've had a lot of people that you know, I have had to discipline when I've been in managerial positions, mm-hmm. and in sobriety, it's been a whole different way of doing it. I actually had two people that were contractors, two people in this one crew that I had contracted with to do a project, showed up on the job site just drunk out of their minds, and they brought their big hunting knives on their pockets, which is, you know, a definite no-no. I guess they had been out playing pool or something. So, you know, it wasn't that I wanted to, like, cool the situation off, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just explained to them, hey, you guys have to go home. Here's why. You know, I can't. The liability of having you on a job when you're intoxicated
right. it's not good.
is you know, bad. And, you know, we'll talk about this more another time, yeah. you know, because they were like, oh, well, you're just blah, 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 blah. No, that's not it at all. But we'll talk about this, and, you know, tomorrow.
These are just safety rules.
Yeah. And I accomplished what I needed to do, which is to get them off the job site. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we worked on discipline later, which was, I sent them back to the contractor, you know, to their office and let them deal with their behavior. Because, you know, it wasn't really up to me to, you know, it's like I could fire the whole contractor group. I mean, I had the power to do that, but, you know, I can't single out individuals. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, it can be the difference in how you can deal with things in a more positive light, even though it's a kind of a very negative scenario.
Right. I mean, there's your part, their part, God's right. part. You know what yeah. I mean? And you can only do your part, really.
Right. Right. Yep. And you know, this kind of all reflects back on, you know, me and my relationship too with my higher power, mm-hmm. right? God, as I don't understand it. Because for me, God isn't like a person or thing. It's like a job description. Because whatever that is, I believe I am totally incapable of understanding what that is. in this human form that I'm stuck in.
Want to be really cool when our brains can understand what that means. I think that's going to be really cool.
We would be one with God, and then we would be God. So, yeah, that kind of terrifies me. But I like this idea of, you know, having choices to, you know, to make good decisions or bad decisions, and to learn from either one of them. But, you know, tempering my, I mean, I learned humility through learning how to believe in God and how to connect with that and the positive side of the world, which I, you know, I believe in a God that loves me and wants me to be happy, you know, which was not what I got into as a child, right? Because there was this punishing God who was going to, you know,
beat you over the head, huh? Yeah.
And I didn't even know what smote meant, but it didn't sound good.
I don't either, but that doesn't sound good.
Catch a lightning bolt. Oof. So, you know, if I want to be happy, there's certain things I need to do. You know, I need to be humble. I need to help people experience the positive things, not generate negative stuff, you know, that triggers them into bad behavior or God only knows what. I mean, it can be a lot of things. Yeah. So what else have we got going on here? We just about burn that out as much as we can, but
I was just going to say that I think that it's very beneficial. I know for myself, and I'm assuming for other people too, to have somebody that you're around that's an encourager. You know what I mean? Somebody who can call you up to your potential and what they see in you. I think that's actually really important. And I was able to get some of that input by being close, you know, with some ladies from my church that I meet with, and being vulnerable and sharing things, you know, and then they got to know me and were able to, you know, say, hey, I think, you know, I see this in you and this in you. And, you know, it's very valuable, you know, especially as a middle-aged woman, you know.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And in the, excuse me, the fellowship.
Yeah. You guys do that too,
of,
right?
Of AA. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we will do for each other is we call it calling us out on our BS.
Well, yeah, it's accountability, which is
not,
people.
Which is not, you know, calling out or telling you you're a bad person. It's saying, hey, recognize that there's this character flaw that you have. And it's always, I've never seen it fail to be followed up by, here's what I did. To get past that. Bridie, that's kind of my obligation to pass on what I've been given along those lines as well. You know, some people respect me, not everyone, but I love those people too. Because those are usually the ones like, really, really, Johnny? Well, okay, maybe I could be wrong. Maybe I'm, yeah, I'm wrong on that. So that's all well and good. One thing they talk about at the end is they say this process that we talked about, it can help strengthen coping skills, promotes individual growth, and supports emotional healing. And those are all things that are really important for people in recovery.
Yeah,
because, you know, coping skills is really a huge one, or it was for me, because I was not going to be able to go to a place on this planet where alcohol didn't exist. Well, I suppose if I went to like Saudi Arabia or something, but I'm pretty sure I could find a way to score some alcohol there as well. So I was going to have to be able to live in a world where it's on the shelf in every grocery store I'm ever going to walk into in my life. And there may come a point where my wife sends me to the liquor store to get something for her and her normal temperate drinker friends, those people I don't understand, you know, to have something for them to enjoy. So,
yeah, I mean, when it can be problematic when your coping is, you know,
yeah,
intravenous using or drugs or illegal things or drinking too much. Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah, or driving fast.
Yeah, I'd say that there's actually a lot of coping things that can get you into trouble. And so, and that's kind of what we explore here. And yeah, sometimes getting to the root of what's underneath that could be so helpful. I loved it when you talked about fear. It is. I thought that right before you said it. I was like, fear is usually the root behind all of the things.
Right.
Yeah.
And different kinds of fear.
It is. And it's for different reasons, for sure. Right, yeah. Right. Different kinds of fear, different reasons.
If you're afraid of heights, that's very different than afraid of your parents, you know, or afraid about keeping your job, or, you know, there's the fear of emotional harm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all fear, but, you know, again, it presents itself in different ways. Mm-hmm. I found in doing my fear inventory, I thought I was pretty much fearless. I mean, I was rough and tough and ready to bluff, but I was so riddled with fear, especially on like the emotional and interpersonal level. Mm-hmm. You know, I was terrified that you wouldn't like me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would turn into a chameleon to be what you wanted me to be.
Suppose you picked that up in childhood, huh?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
And you know, it that gets exhausting because you got to remember who you are.
Really does.
In every different thing. Mm-hmm. And getting past that fear was like so incredibly liberating. Because I could just be who I was, and if people liked me, great. If they didn't, well, that's great too.
Yeah,
you know.
And gosh, if everybody liked you or everybody liked me, that would just wouldn't work out.
No,
we don't want that. No, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
None of us want that responsibility. Well, you know, when we have some people that we have as friends and family that, you know, we get along with decently, that's positive.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to like all your family members either.
Don't.
I mean,
you actually don't.
There are certain things, you know, in my family that we disagree on, you know, like political things and whatnot. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we base our whole relationship on those particular things.
I think that God made many different types of people and interests and beliefs and all that kind of stuff. And that's what makes this world very unique, you know?
Right.
If we were all for the same thing, I mean, you know.
Right.
How are we going to have friction and grow and learn? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like my sponsor once told me. He said, Johnny, there's two kinds of days. There's good days and there's learning days. You know, and that's really true. You know, on those days where, like I said earlier, you know, I'm suffering through and I'm toxic to anybody who comes near me, if nothing else, I can take away from that what put me in that space and how to either avoid it or not create it in the future. You know, we create our own hell. I mean, I know I did in my drinking. And, you know, I had a choice on how I wanted to drink at one point. And then over time, I lost that choice. I lost the choice not to drink. I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And I've regained the choice over drink, but I've also have choice over how I react to things.
You know, absolutely.
Even if I'm not very good at it. That's all fun. So what else you have on your mind today? Anything? Got a couple of minutes to burn here.
Well, I would mention that we have a couple of new workbook classes that I may have mentioned before. On Tuesdays, we have early recovery that starts at 1 and goes till 2. The workbooks are free. Sean and I lead that. And then also, of course, all recovery on Wednesdays at noon. And then Thursdays at 12:15, we have this is my favorite workbook group right now. And we call that like a preventing relapse, but this book is very meaty. It has great information. I couldn't even do justice to explaining mm-hmm. what all it has in it. And it, honestly, both workbooks are really good. Yeah, and we've got a good group, and we have snacks, and it's just a good time. If you are in like a specialty program or an IOP and you need your card signed, we can do that too.
Right.
Everything's free, snacks. Lately, I've been doing like popsicles because it's been so hot. But yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you too, there was a class you were doing a while ago for friends.
Yeah. So the invitation to change class is still Wednesdays from 5:30 to 6:45. That book is also free. And it's basically a support group for, or someone who has a loved one that struggles with substances, mental health. So that could be a friend, a family member, a spouse, a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really find that that group has been very supportive for people. And it's got just amazing information. The authors of the book are the ones that wrote Beyond Addiction. And the Invitation to Change group is kind of like it's off of that organization, but it's like the nonprofit part.
Right, yeah, right.
It's pretty neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah. Good. People with some PhDs and stuff like that using their big brain power of knowledge of school, and then also their hands-on work that they've done with people over the decades to be able to see like what works and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can honestly be a pretty hard role for somebody who is a friend or a family member of someone who struggles. I mean, mm-hmm. we see our loved ones make these choices and we're just like, what in the world? You know, like, don't you care about me? Like, why aren't you doing this different? And this kind of helps people to understand a little bit of like maybe why they're doing those things, but then also how to continue to have a relationship with them, but still exist in your values and your like boundaries with that person, but having a little bit more of a compassionate dialogue with them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just a good space where like we kind of all get it. You know, mm-hmm. and so does the workbook that we're going through. It's really good. Yeah, really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, now we are up against the clock. So thanks, Denise, for meeting.
Johnny.
And going forward, we'll try and string together some more of these.
Yeah.
Maybe actually get a guest or two in.
That sounds wonderful.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
And I'll close it out with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with behavioral health or substances, you do. And you can always stop by the Lata or Whitman Recovery Community Centers and talk with someone like Denise or Sean or the people over in Pullman and maybe get some work done on it. Some positive stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Well, it's all right. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's alright, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's alright, sometimes you gotta be strong.
Somewhere down the road away,
at the end of the line,
you'll think of me and wonder where I am these days.
At the end of the line, of the line.
Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays,
at the end of the line,
purple haze.
Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right.
Just glad to be here, happy to feel that.
At the end of the line, of the line.
And it don't matter if you're by my side.
At the end of the line,
I'm satisfied.
Well, it's all.